Deuteronomy chapter 11. When God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, there was some things that he wanted to go and take possession of, and it was land that he had committed to them that they would be able to take possession of it. And literally this morning, I believe that New Life Fellowship is in a place where God wants to take back some land, but that's not so much physical land as it is spiritual. It's a land that God wants to grow and go into areas and take back what was literally taken away from him. And if you were to consider what land is today, number one, the number one thing is people's lives. That is the land that he wants to redeem back, is people's lives. And as God wants to touch people, he needs to do it through you. And that's why it's very, very important for you and I to realize that we need to get ready for what God's doing. And to be honest with you, all the way through the scriptures, whenever God was about to do something, there was a purification that always took place first. A purification, meaning there was a cleansing and a washing and a cleaning house, so to speak, before God ever moves forward into the next arena of life. And the reason that is because you don't want to go in with baggage. You want to go in clean, ready, dressed up, able to battle for what's ahead. And sin will always be baggage to you. Sin will always be a baggage to something that God wants to do. And so the reason God wants to come and do a work in me before he ever asked me to go further is because he wants to get rid of stuff I've been carrying that I really don't need anymore. And so once again, you'll see a consistency of how God moves all the way through Scripture, and you'll see that God will always purify his own church first before he ever goes forth to take back what was rightfully his. So when God does things like this where he wants us to come to the place of repentance and come to the place of making things right, we know that there's something coming. We know that there's something that we're getting prepared for. And I don't know about you, but I know Jesus is coming back one day, and I don't know when that is, and nobody ever does, so if anybody tells you they do, they're lying. But the reality is that you and I are the bride of Christ. And like the song we sang at the end, even so come, he's coming back for a pure and a righteous bride. And so God wants us to continually be aware of the work that he wants to do in us, and so it's just a great and powerful thing. Just take a quick side note. I don't know if any of you all know that Howard and Candy are grandpa and grandma. Brandy had her baby 11:59. So it's just really a great gift to them and their family, and great pictures on the internet if you have that and whatnot. But I was going to do it early and I forgot, and now this is boom. I was like, okay, we got to take a side note and just give a little honor to grandma. Does that feel weird to call you grandma? Grandpa's grandpa. No, you can call Howard grandpa. So. Oh, funny. But anytime God wants to move, there will always be that work in us that needs to take place first. And it's not a bad work. It's always a good work. It's always a good work of preparation. It's like, you know, when you and I live in our houses, and all of a sudden we got company coming over, what is the first thing you want to begin to do? Get it ready. Was it bad before? Probably not that bad, but what do? You go through and you clean up everything you've never touched or hardly touched in the last month and a half, 2 months. All because somebody's coming. Well, same thing is spiritually. There's this awakening that God is bringing to the church body, that he is coming back, and he's coming back for a bride that's ready for him. And I don't know about you, but you and I need to make sure that we consistently work on being ready no matter what day or hour it is. And that way, when that day comes, it won't be a surprise to us. It'll be, this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been anticipating. This is what I've been looking for. And so to New Life Fellowship this morning, and I really want to emphasize to you this morning that God is getting us ready. God is ready to do something that is probably beyond what we understand right now. But we need to make sure that we're ready, that we're responding to when God calls, when God moves, when God asks us to do things. We're ready and responding because He does want to take possession of what's taking place. And that's exactly what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 11, where we see that there's some things that need to continually take place before God will ask us to go in and take back what is rightfully His, not ours, but His. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees and His laws and His commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, the signs of He performed and the things He did in the heart of Egypt, both the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his whole country. What He did to the Egyptian army, to the horses and chariots, how He overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. Boy, that stuck out to me. Lasting ruin. If anything, I want there to be a lasting ruin on the devil and his camp in this area. Lasting ruin. There was a lasting ruin on Pharaoh and his army. I don't know about you, but that signifies the work of the enemy against us. So who's against us? We know the devil is. Therefore, we want to have lasting ruin on the camp of the enemy. I don't know about you, but that's significant today. And the only way those things can happen is by obedience on our part. Verse 5, it was not your children who saw what He did in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what He did to Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliab, the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up and with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by the foot as in the vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is the land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your labor in its season, both autumn and spring rains, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for the cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and He will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. And you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land. And the Lord swore to give your forefathers as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to hold fast to Him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispose nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror of the fear and fear of you on the whole land wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, that I am giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, and you are to proclaim to Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road, toward the setting of the sun, near the great trees of the Morah, and in the territory of those Canaanites living in the Arabah in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you have taken it over and are living there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today. Father, this morning, it is our heart's desire once again to gather from the Word of God, the work that you want to put in us and establish in us again and again. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for what you're doing here today. I want to thank you that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which it was sent to do. And Lord, we thank you that there's a work of the Spirit that is happening even this morning in this body, in this territory, Lord, that will continue to be honored because we're choosing to obey your voice and obey your word. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you today for what you're going to do in our midst. Anoint my words that it might not be of my own flesh that speaks, but it's a work of your Spirit, that I might be the messenger this morning that would be able to speak from what you are truly saying in the quiet place. And so we thank you and praise you today for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen, amen. All the way, Deuteronomy, by the way, is one of my favorite books. If you've ever read it, you might not enjoy it. Maybe you will. I don't know, but I really enjoy it. It's so practical and it's so clear-cut. That's what I love about it. It's not a guesswork. It's not, well, you should do this, but you could do this. It's like, no, either do this or do this, and it's black and white. I kind of like that kind of stuff. Makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? But on the other hand, there's a whole lot of other areas that we get to look at that are maybe not quite as black and white, but we need to hear what God's saying in those times. I do believe that the Lord is asking New Life Fellowship to come into this place where we get ourselves ready to go to the next stage in life, the next walk that God has for New Life Fellowship. And in doing that, there's going to be the hand of God that will walk with us if we choose to walk in the obedience to what God's word already says. That's it. We walk in obedience to what is already says. It's not hard to figure out what God's saying. We like to make it hard because we pick on all the issues that are questionable and gray. But what about the areas that are absolutely black and white? And we walk in obedience to those things, and we watch what God's doing, and we begin to step forward in what God's asking us to do. I believe we're going to continue to watch how God's going to open doors for us to go forth and to watch people's lives be changed. The reason we're here is to watch people's lives be changed. Literally, because we're speaking the Word of God, and the Word of God is what transforms us. The Word of God is what changes us. It's the truth of God's Word that begins to work in me and does a work in me so that what comes out of me is a work of the Spirit, not a work of Jeff Capel. And same for you. So the reality is that God wants to continue to do something and build in us something that is far beyond what we ever thought New Life would ever touch. And so this morning I want to encourage you to make sure that you come to this place where you desire more than anything else to do what God's word says. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11. He says, love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, his commands, always. Always. Huh. So as soon as you leave church today, That means always. How many of you know it's easy to be a believer here? Sure it is. Unless you got something against somebody, then it's kind of tough. Right? Kind of hard to focus on the Lord when you got somebody else that's bigger than him in your head. That might be for somebody today, I'm not sure. But the reality is this. God obviously wants obedience out of us. And he wants obedience out of us every day of the week. Every hour of the month, every minute of the day, he wants obedience out of my life. And that is something that I'll have to work on until I go home. It'll be something I'll have to work on until I die. Because there's a part of me that still continually has to die every single day. Jeff Capel has to die every single day. Otherwise, he might rise up and begin to say and do things that obviously are not honoring to the Lord. And so every day I have to work on myself. Every day I have to come to that place where I work on who I am. Why? Because I have some flesh that needs to die every single day. And some days, I'll be honest with you, are better than others. There's some days that are a lot easier than others. But you know what the Lord loves? The Lord loves the fact that we make sure that he comes back to that spot in our life. Now, you might have some areas of your life where he's not Lord. Well, today might be the beginning of that new work that he wants to do inside of you. Open that door, open that closet, open that crawl space, open that little area that nobody knows about and say, Lord, come on in, do whatever needs to be done. And give him that room and give him that liberty. Why? Because the more of your house that he has, the easier it will be for you to follow him. How many of you have ever been going through your day? You're going through your house, you're doing whatever, and you all of a sudden you open up a closet and it's like, oh, I should just clean it right now. I mean, it's not perfect timing. It's not like you got a lot of extra time. It's just like it's there in front of you. I think I should tackle it now. Well, you get halfway through and you're going, what was I thinking in saving all this stuff? You know, why did I keep all this? And so you start throwing and junking and moving, and pretty soon you got a bigger mess than when you started. And if you get bothered by something else, pretty soon it lays there for another week before you ever get back to it. But you know, the reality is that when God begins something, he knows how to come back to it and get in it again. Oh, you might not conquer it all that day. But the reality is that when God begins something, Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in me will bring it unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So when God begins something in me, then he begins to work out some things. And yes, he understands the fact that I've got other things that need to be responsible for. But the reality is that God will always bring me back to that place where I can begin to pick it up and begin to clean it again and watch it be clean. And when I'm all done, you can look at it and say, hey, look at that. I didn't know I had so much space. What's the space for? For God to put something new in there. For God to put something in there that would absolutely be beneficial to my life and beneficial to yours. So all of that comes out of verse 1. He says, to love the Lord your God and keep his requirements in his decrees, his laws, his commands, always. Always letting God have room in my life, in whatever area that I'm dealing with today. I let him have room. When he has room, then he'll honor me by pouring back into me something that I need. Because I've made room for him. I've allowed him to have his place. I've allowed him room to move freely amongst us. And you might say, well, I know that. Well, then let's do something about it. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to do it. And God is waiting for us many times to open that door and allow him to say, you know what, Lord, all this stuff in my life you can have. And pretty good chance he'll ask you to get rid of it because he doesn't need it either. Isn't that interesting? All those things that I thought were so valuable, all of a sudden God doesn't need. So then I begin to go through my mind and have to rearrange my thinking. But the one thing that I want to emphasize this morning in all that we read, we saw that it was important to obey God, it was important to submit to God, it was important to make sure that we do whatever God asks. The reason God wants that is this. is that he wants obedience on my part no matter what. He wants me to learn to submit to him under any circumstance, under any situation, no matter what's happening, no matter how good my life is, no matter how bad my life is, he wants me to learn to surrender to him immediately. And if I would learn to continue to let him do that, then in the midst of that, God will give me a responsibility to make sure that whatever he's been giving me, I can take care of. You see, when you look at New Life and from the beginning stages until where it's at today, we are a long ways away from where we started. But the reality is as God grows us, that should happen in our natural life as well. So when God grows us in who he is and the knowledge of what he is, then all of a sudden, God's going to ask me to be responsible to make sure that his house looks like him. And I tell you, this goes back to going back to the high priest in the temple. You realize the only one that could ever enter the Holy of Holies was the high priest, right? So when God says, hey, I now have a new high priest that is in charge of entering into the temple. Well, Jesus Christ comes into my life, and now I become that temple. No longer does he live in buildings, I become that temple. So now what? Now who's the high priest? We are. Why are we the high priest? Because we can walk right into the presence of God. Only the high priest could only do that only once a year, and never without the shedding of blood. So now all of a sudden, because of what Jesus Christ did in me, I become the high priest. Because I'm the high priest, now I'm in charge of the temple. When I enter into the temple, I make sure that my hands are washed in the blood of Christ, that sin no longer has mastery over me, and that I no longer continue to bear the marks of sin on my hands. I wash them under the blood of Jesus. Then I go over to the candlestick, and I go over to the candlestick, and I make sure the lights continually are trimmed so they're always burning, always burning, always burning. They never went out. It was never to go out. The candles were never to go out. So they would trim the wicks to make sure that they would continue to light. Then I go over to the table of showbread. That is the bread, the broken bread. That is a representation of Jesus' body. That is a representation of if I don't eat bread, I don't survive. So I go and I eat the bread, which is the Word of God, and I get the Word of God in me, and so that the Word of God, and then I can now go through the curtain that was ripped when Jesus was died on the cross. I can enter right into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. Why? Because I'm now the high priest of this temple. I'm now the high priest, and now if there's anything wrong in the temple, whose fault is it? Mine. Mine. Jesus never did anything wrong, and the only other person in there is me. Because you're not in me. Tyler doesn't live in me. Lyle doesn't live in me. I'm now the priest. So I'm in charge of what goes through this. I'm in charge of what comes out of this. And I'm in charge of what happens in my heart. And I'm in charge of what happens with my hands and my feet. And now nobody else can take the blame of how I behave. Boy, I tell you, America needs to hear this because we've got the blame game going on more than it needs to. We're blaming everybody else because we have to behave this way. Well, I wouldn't have done that if he wouldn't have said this. And it's like, well, so what? Let's get over it. Let's begin to become the high priest of this temple. So I make sure that my wicks never go out. Nobody ever comes and steals my light. I make sure that I get into the Word of God so I have the truth and the strength of God's Word. I make sure that my hands are washed in the blood. And I come to Jesus on a regular basis saying, Lord, cleanse me, wash me, purify me. And now I can enter into the presence of God. And I can stand there with no condemnation. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? No condemnation. So now I begin to walk in that. You know what's interesting in this whole scenario? There's warnings. There's warnings. Oh, the abundance of what God is awesome. But there's also these warnings that he has all the way through, even in the Old Testament, as we have in the New Testament. Let's look at a couple of them. Verse 16. Well, let's jump back to 13. So, if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land and in its seasons, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grains, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Verse 16, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land of the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine on your hearts, your minds, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, teach them to your children, talk about them when you're at home and you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many of the days are and heavens are above the earth. If you carefully obey all these commands, I will follow, I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger than you. So, in other words, all these promises are based on obedience. We come to Jesus by faith. But once we have faith, there must be obedience or your faith will die. This is where I have a beef with eternal security. If they didn't make it because they didn't obey, what makes you think we're going to make it just because we believed and disobeyed? Just saying, you can weigh that yourself. But there was blessings for obedience and there was cursing for disobedience. Nowhere in my life is God ever going to give me an excuse to disobey him. Nowhere, never. No matter how big God, no matter how great my life is, no matter how bad my life is, God will never ever give me an excuse to turn and go the opposite way of what God says in his word. If that's the case, Jesus had every opportunity to do it. And he never did. And he's our example. And so the reality is this. Obedience in my life and your life is crucial for the steps we're going to take forward. That means there's going to be unity at New Life. Not maybe, where it's going to be. Because he says how lovely it is when brothers dwell together in unity. If we have the same God, there should be no problem with the church being unified. No problem whatsoever. Divisiveness, thank you, Carol. Divisiveness should not even be an issue in the church. Because if there is, it's not God. It can't be. God isn't going to divide himself. How would you like it if I just divided you up? Cut this arm off over here. Cut this arm off over here. Cut your leg off right there and just give it to somebody. How would you feel? Not very well, right? God isn't going to do that either. He is not going to divide his body. He is going to allow it to work together. Therefore, if you and I don't spend enough time in the quiet place hearing what God says, we'll never be unified. Therefore, we will never fulfill what God wants us to do. Never. How can he? How can he do it with divisiveness? It's not a part of him. Therefore, it's very, very important for us to make sure that we are surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit, surrendered to the obedience to God's word. And when God tells us to obey him, it's not a matter of if and when, it's a matter of when and now. I'll do whatever you ask, when you want it, how you want it, what does it look like? That's why when our services began to change more and more, I know that there were some people that may not have been happy, but you know what? I'm not concerned whether you're happy. You want to talk about one uncomfortable dude, it's me. You could say, tomorrow, be gone, and I have to leave. My job is at stake, but I tell you what, I have a God who will take care of me whether you like it or not. And I promise you, he will take care of me. But you have been so gracious to let God do what he wants to do. And that is why I believe God is saying we're ready to take another step in the direction he has for us. But it will not come at a small price. It'll come at a price of obedience, no matter what anybody else says or does. Very, very important that we get this. Because God's blessing comes through obedience, and God's curses come through disobedience. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in receiving any curses from God. I want all the blessings that God has given us. So therefore comes the responsibility. If God has laid this in our lap, now he says, I want you to caretake over it. Just like the priest does in the temple. He keeps the lights going. He has the bread on the table. He has the sacrifice for his sin. And he now enters into the Holy of Holies to honor and worship and to praise the Lord and to lift his name and to hear his voice. And all of that needs to come. But all of that could be quickly taken away if we turn away from him and we don't listen to his voice. So new life, we need to hear this. We have to continue to walk in obedience. More importantly in this, how many days do you spend at church? Less than one. So where's your responsibility lie as the high priest of your temple? With you. And if you don't take care of you when you're not here, when you come here, you can infect the whole body. Now, is God really that weak? No. But he does respect our wishes. If you don't want to go with God wherever he wants to go, he'll respect that, and he'll let us exist just like we are. But I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in making sure that whatever God wants to do with New Life Fellowship is absolutely done, and the only way that'll ever get done is by all of us walking in obedience together with Christ. Obedience to his voice, obedient to his word, obedient to everything that he asks. No matter what anybody else does or says, it's obedience. So we have a responsibility to care for what God has given us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Be done here in just a minute. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Very important. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Ouch. So if you don't feel the Holy Spirit coming and convicting you, I want to encourage you, get in the game. Get in, because the Holy Spirit will come and convict those that are his sons. That's a guarantee. Verse 9. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Key word is submit. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while they thought it best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. When you guys that are in the military, when you go in there, do you get to do whatever you want? Absolutely not, Tyler says. Well, the reality is why is that? Because there's consequences, right? So if obedience is that crucial in a military situation, how much more crucial is it in the body of Christ? If we're going to be an army that God raises up to do a work that goes back to take possession of land or things that God wants to take possession of, how in the world are we ever going to do that if we don't do what the commanding officer says? I mean, it's really that simple. Of just learning to submit to what God says and to do whatever He asks, when He asks, how He asks, and wherever He wants it done. Absolutely, Lord, yes, sir, I will do it. And that is what God's asking us really to do, is to be trained by our Heavenly Father by what He wants to do in my life. Because if I allow the righteous work of God to happen in my life, I will be trained so that I may be able to do exactly what God says. How's your training going? Just know that when God trains us, he wants to do something great and powerful in us. But He can't do it unless He has His way. Because He's going to get all the glory, not you and I. He's the one that, even if you come to me this morning and say, Pastor, that's a great message. Well, guess what? It wasn't mine. I didn't think this up. I'm not that good. I'm not. But I can take what He shows me and I can relay it to you. And what God does with that is up to the Holy Spirit. I can't follow you around and say, Travis, did you get that? You remember what I said, Travis? Travis, hey, Travis, can you remember? Do you remember anything I said this morning? Just waiting for you to get done, that's all. No. No, but the reality is that what God wants to do is a work in me and you. He wants to do something in us, but if we're not trained by what God wants to train us with, then how can we ever be a vessel used by Him? Let's stand and pray. Lord, this morning it is truly a privilege once again to watch Your Word come and just reveal things to us. I pray, Lord, today that the work that You want done in each one of our lives will take place at the level of submission that we give You. And Lord, I pray that level of submission this morning is great, that it is deeper than what it has been, that it would grow and bear more fruit than we've ever bore fruit before. Because, Lord, we know that there's opportunities coming to take back land that has been stolen, that has been completely ripped out of Your hands by the enemy. And Lord, this morning I pray that as we continue to live our lives, the light and the salt that is supposed to come off our lives will absolutely infect and do a powerful work in the lives of people that we come in contact with. And so this morning I pray that we'll continue to submit to Your hand and submit to Your work. And as we submit to that work, Lord, that You'll be honored and You'll be blessed because we are doing it out of submission, out of obedience to what we already know. So thank You, Lord God, for helping us through the rest of this day. And thank You for inspiring us because we do want the blessings. We don't want the curse. We want the blessings of Your hand, not the cursing. So, Lord, if there's any discipline that needs to happen this morning, we give You liberty to do that. Holy Spirit, feel free to discipline me. And You have to do that for You because I can't ask that for You. I can only ask that for me. And I do want his discipline, because I want to be a true son. And so, Lord, I thank you for showing us those things which need to be taken care of today. So, Lord, as we come to our time of closing this morning, we ask that you would continue to work throughout our lives throughout this day, and that you'd be honored and glorified and praised above all things. And it would be evident in how we talk, what we post on Facebook, what we text, what we say, and most importantly, what we do. And so, Lord, I want to thank you and praise you for the evidence that will be in our lives because of the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless our food today. Bless the food that has been prepared. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless our fellowship, the time we'll spend together. Thank you for blessing the hands that prepared the food. And Lord, just go with us as we fellowship together and enjoy each other's company. And bless the rest of this day in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.